Be seated. Quickly, let's go over a few things on our Facebook page, and I'm trying to get it printed out. But that Missouri Cares October 7th event, we talked to you about how there's five areas in our district. I'm going to quickly review last week, and then we'll jump into the rest of it. But I'm going to go briefly over the seven seals, because we're going to go right into the seven trumpets. So the first seal took place in Revelation 6, and it says, "And the Lamb, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" And that first seal was the white horse. The white horse, and that white horse was there to conquer, and that signified the Antichrist when he starts on the scene. The second seal is the red horse, and the second seal was opened up, and power was given to him to cause there to be a great sword was given to him that they should kill one another. Talking about the war that took place, the war, many wars that takes place here on earth. The black horse is the third seal that is opened up, and the black horse comes out from that third seal, and that is a pair of balances in his hand about the lack of food and the famine that is going to take place during that time. And then the fourth seal is opened up, and the pale horse comes out, and he rises, and he is the death. He signifies death, and he kills with hunger, death, and the sword. And so many people are going to be killed. 1.7 billion people possibly are going to be killed during that time. And then there's going to be martyred saints, and that's going to be the focus of our study today in Revelation 7, what's taking place in heaven during the time of these six seals being outpoured and then going into it. So understand that when the fifth seal is opened up, it is going to be the martyred souls that were under the altar that cried out because they had their lives taken from them, and robes were given to them. But we're going to pay attention, special close attention, to what type of robe they had, and we will see it was different than what the church saints has. Again, another opportunity for you to see that the church was not here during that time. And then, of course, there were signs that took place on the earth. Great earthquakes took place from the sixth seal. And now let's go on to chapter 7, which is heaven's view of the period during chapter 6. And so you can just enter through that, Brother Haddock, until we get to it. Of course, when the seven seals are opened up, only one was worthy, right? The Lamb. He was the only one who was worthy. When we get to Revelation chapter 7, let's read verse 1. It says, "And after these things," so after the first seven seals were taking place, or at least the first six, "I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." So there's four angels that are holding back the winds, and a fifth angel comes, and he cries out to those four angels, because these four angels are assigned to continue to cause destruction on the earth. So this fifth angel comes, and he cries, and he says in verse 3, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now this is where a lot of people, and we could be quick to point fingers at the Jehovah Witnesses. But I say, hold on a second. Hold on a second. If you read this verse at first glance, it clearly says, till we have sealed the servants of our God. At first glance, somebody could say, well, see, there's the church. See, if they're the servants of God, who else is it but the church? Servants of God, they're being marked. Verse 4, to give clarity on who they were. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of who? All the who? Tribes of Israel. So who is not getting marked if they were there? Who's not getting marked if they were there, if the Bible clearly states only 144,000 are being marked? The church. Because this 144,000 is not the church, but yet they're called the servants of God. So let's look at this. The contrast between the two groups described in Revelation 7. The 144,000 from verses 1 through 8. Did we get to verse 8 yet? No, so let's keep on reading, but leave it on that slide, Brother Hannah. So we know it's the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. And the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And Dan was left off. Why was Dan left off? Because Dan left their place of habitation as well. Dan did not stay in their territory, and God judged them for it. But we see here in these eight verses, or these verses here, shows us that these 144,000 that were marked by this angel telling the four other angels, now hold on until I mark these servants of God. You can't touch them until I mark them. So we see the 144,000 are Israelites only from 12,000 tribes of Israel. Okay? But as we continue to read, which I shall, then I'll come back to. Let's continue to read. Verse 9. And this I behold, and lo, a great multitude. That's different than 144,000. Would you agree? Which no man could what? Number. But we just numbered what? The 144,000. So these are two different groups we're talking about. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue stood. Everyone say stood. Before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Someone say robes. We're going to get back to that. And palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Woo, for the Holy Ghost, so strong right here. Stay with me now. Don't you think you know where I'm going yet, because you might be off, so just keep listening. He asked a question. The elders, right? The elders were already in heaven, were they not? Did we not read it last week that there were 24 elders already in heaven watching what was going on in regards to the seals being poured out? And they were the ones who were crying out, saying, who is worthy to open up the seals? One of those same elders said, who in the world are these new people that just showed up? Stay with me. Which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Verse 14. And I said unto him, so now that guy asked John, and John's like, I don't know who they are. Why wouldn't John, a church member, know who they were? John the Revelator, the one who wrote this book. He didn't know that who that was. Well, if it was a church, don't you think he would have known who it was?
How would he not know who this multitude is when he would have, quote unquote, if he was part of the church, a part of that multitude? Because he wasn't a part of that multitude. He was caught up seeing what were the things that should be hereafter, as we read about earlier in the book of Revelation. You're with me, aren't you? Okay. And he said, sir, you know, he repeated back to the angel, you know, I don't know. And he said to me, the angel again, these are they which came up out of the what? Great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before, and we'll say before, the throne of God, and serve, and we'll say and serve. Look at the position. These very important words, minute words that people miss it, and that's why we misinterpret the scripture. It clearly says that John didn't know who they were. It clearly says they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, which means they're martyred, and it clearly says they served before the throne and served him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and they shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So who in the world are these people? Are they the church or not? Is the question we must find out. Either the church is here or the church is not. Either the church got raptured before the tribulation or they got raptured after. There's no in between. So which one is it? Let's compare the scriptures. Verse 1 through 8, we see that there was a specific group of people, the Israelites, 12,000 from 12 tribes. But yet, we read from 7 and 19, it says, come out of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues. They consist of a specific number of people in regards to Scripture 7, 1 through 8. But in Revelation 7, 9 through 17 is a great multitude which no man can number. The Bible says that still upon the earth in mortal bodies, but they needed the protection of who? That fifth angel that says, wait, I got to mark them first. I must mark the 144,000 before any more judgment comes down. Jewish people. But the martyred ones are what? In a state of glory before the throne of God. Because they were martyred. They weren't marked. They got killed. They refused to mark the beast. Okay? So we know for sure that there's a difference between Israel during that time and these people. But we're still not clear yet on who these people are. So let's go one step further. Next slide. The difference between the church saints and the tribulation saints. The church age on the left side says, the Bible says, and we're going to go to these verses. The church saints are kept from the hour of temptation. This is a review now. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Speaking to the church, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But he says, I will keep you from that hour. What are the three things we taught that John is going to receive? The things which were, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And right here, John is being told that the church of Philadelphia is a church that will be kept from the hour of temptation. Why? They kept his word in patience. But it says in the tribulation saints, it says they're going to come out of the great tribulation. Go back to Revelation 7:14. So Revelation 3:10 says you're not going to be in that hour of temptation. But Revelation 7:14 says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. How could it be both? Either you're there or you're not. He told the church, you won't be there. He told the tribulation saints, you came out of there. And John didn't recognize him. Are you with me? All right? Clothed in white raiment. If you understand that the New Testament was written in Greek, another important principle in studying the Word of God. Every word matters. In Revelation 3:5, which we all agree, and we've read about it before in other chapters, that we are clothed with the robe of righteousness. Are we not? But there's a reason why John was given a specific word, even though it might be translated in English as the same word. Comes out robe, right? But it's not the word robe in the Greek. The church has a different robe. Revelation 3:5. It says the church has he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That word white raiment, is the Greek word himatasion. And that is a mantle or cloak. Revelation 4:4, again, before they allowed the wrath to take place, it says, and round about the throne, 24 seats, and upon the seats were 24 elders. Again, one of the elders included, and the one that asked John that question, who are these people? Clothed in white raiment. Same word. Himatasion. But in Revelation 7, verse 9, it says that these, and I'll read it, Revelation 7, 9, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Said white raiment earlier. This one says white robes, and that Greek word is different. So they are wearing different apparel. The two groups of people are dressed differently. That means something in the Word of God. There's a distinction given the same way we believe that our clothing is a distinction from the world. Someone say amen. No different here. And they are clothed in the Greek word stole. Two different Greek words. If they're the same people, why aren't they wearing the same thing? They must be different people. Revelation 4:4, the church, again, all this is written before the seals are poured out. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting. We understood scripturally speaking, those 24 elders represented the saints, the church of God. But they were able to sit on thrones. But in Revelation 7:10, they weren't sitting on thrones. Revelation 7:10 states that they were standing before the throne. So these must be two different groups of people. We have church saints already gone, and we have tribulation saints. They'll get there. But that's not the church. Are you seeing that? Next set. Crowns. Revelation 4:4. They had crowns. Revelation 7. No mention. No crowns are mentioned. I want to put my slide. I don't know. It's like 40 something. Don't go back to it. But there were five crowns that spoke about that we're going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. No crowns for tribulation saints. They must be different. It is said in Revelation 5:8, they have harps and golden bowls full of incense, but in their hands, palm branches. Two different things going on. And it's very important for us to see these things to help us realize that there are two different groups of people that God is dealing with. He is going to allow there to be people still saved even after the rapture, but it clearly tells you there's a distinction of who these people are.
Bible again tells us, the church, I have not appointed you to wrath. Church, I'm not giving you for the hour of temptation. We went over 2 weeks that talked about how the Jacob's trouble was for that, the Israelite people. And they're only going to be 144,000 marked. And the seals are being poured out. And a lot of problems are going on. Next slide. We're going to sing a new song. They're going to cry out with a loud voice. The church will be declared to be a kingdom of priests who will reign, rule and reign with Christ. But they said what? Verse 15. It says, therefore are they before the throne and serve him day and night in the temple. You don't see anywhere where the church is serving day and night in heaven. We're worshiping. Now, if I had to serve, I'm not complaining. I would still do it. But that's not the description that the Word of God gives the church. But it does give it to those that were saved during the tribulation. They're going to serve day and night. Those are the tribulation saints. They're going to serve day and night in his temple. But he that sits on the throne will be among them. But can you see a difference, a distinction in the Word of God? That these are different groups of people in the Word of God. Joel 2, I don't have a slide for the handout, but Joel 2 and Revelation 6 and 7 are kind of connected. It says in Acts 2:16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But remember, he only gave part of that prophecy. And we talked about before that there's going to be a new covenant when all that Old Testament prophecies are going to be fulfilled. But what it did make clear, though, that there would be wonders in heaven and in earth. Joel 2:30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. But we read that in Revelation 6:12-14. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel 2:32, still part of his prophecy about the last days. He said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Why is that so important? They're going to recognize there's an Antichrist and that he's not the Lord. So they will say with their lives, Jesus is Lord. And Joel says, God's going to save them. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord have said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Revelation 7:10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation come to salvation to our God, which sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the thrones and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. They saw that those that cried on the name of the Lord would be saved. If you look at the book of Matthew, you would never read Matthew ever again the same way once you see how many times he says that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. Over 40 times Matthew says that it might be fulfilled, helping us understand there are still prophecies that need to yet be fulfilled. Okay? And Peter began to preach. He said, this is that. He says, we're getting close to the fulfillment, and the Holy Ghost is poured out. But guess what? In the last days, God still has to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Guess what? That multitude, that people, that tongue from all nations and kindreds are going to be part of that revival as well. There is going to be a level of revival even during the Great Tribulation. And a lot of it has to do with those marked, 144,000 marked. Okay, and then we're gonna finish up chapter 8, and then we're going to be done. Chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half hour. Of all that took place and all the martyrdom that was going on, that there was a moment of silence, so to speak. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them were given seven trumpets. So do not confuse these trumpets with the trump of the Lord that's given in Thessalonians. These are seven different trumpets, symbolic of the outpouring of the wrath of God during the tribulation, not a one sound of a declaration of war or judgment. It's seven trumpets that signify judgments, plural. Verse 3, And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer that was given unto him, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Those prayers of those same tribulation saints that are praying, saying, God, avenge us of our blood. It is the imagery of the Old Testament tabernacle, which itself was made to serve as a copy of the heavenly. The types and shadows are being revealed. The altar is the golden altar of incense that's in the Old Testament, which was before God always, the Holy of Holies, before that moment, just outside that veil, just outside the Holy of Holies. That prayer is what gets you to the Holies of Holies. That constant incense that has to go up before God that gets you into that presence of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, the priests would burn incense on the altar of incense. The smoke would fill the temple or the tabernacle and then would ascend upward into heaven. Next verse. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7 is our first trumpet. You can click the next slide, Brother Hannah. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Think about all the level of vegetation gone in one sweep. And a third of the trees were all gone when that first trumpet was sound. Burning was taking place on the earth, burnt trees and all green grass. So, of course, all the crops like wheat, barley, rice, corn, imagine how much famine again would now be upon the earth with that type of devastation. Each of it, of course, represents the spiritual concepts of God in his wrath. Hail comes from above and naturally speaks of the source as well as the suddenness that will take place according even to Isaiah 28 and 2. Fire speaks of the consuming wrath of God. These judgments consume and destroy the meaning of purpose of life here on earth. And even blood that it says is mingled with is, of course, a description of death that is going to take place. It only reminds us that men, many men and women and children are going to be killed by these judgments because the wages of sin is death. The second trumpet, the second angel sounded, this is verse 8 and 9, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. A third part of the world's water source is going to be blood. Do you remember that plague that took place in the book of Exodus concerning the Egyptian people and how their water was turned into blood? And as a result, the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life, they died. And the third part of the ships, of course, were destroyed. They cannot last in blood. So it was a huge mountain like fire, a ball of fire, which was cast into the sea is a perfect picture of what we know even about asteroids today. Asteroids are literally mountains hurling through space. There's only one family of asteroids called the Apollo group with an orbit that crosses directly across Earth. These asteroids are masses of rock which vary in size from a few miles to several hundred miles. The largest catalog asteroid was called Ceres, is about 620 miles in diameter. The next sizes are Pallas, about 332, and Vesta, about 240. But what would happen even if a small asteroid struck Earth? There was a meteorite that fell in Siberia in 1908, and it devastated over 1,000 square miles. And I don't think it was even near a mile size. The shock was felt far away as even Europe, while trees up to 20 miles away were simply blown down. Here is the description. That meteor was only 200 feet across, that meteorite. Nowhere near a mile long. Can you see how much devastation would take place when that hits? The third trumpet, Revelation 8:10, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many died of the waters because they were made bitter. So, of course, some type of poisoning took place in the water that was still left. Again, chemical changes made it bitter. And that's why it's called wormwood. Similarity of scriptures in the book of Exodus 15 that dealt with bitter waters. And the final trumpet that we're going to discuss tonight is the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So take off another third of our day because of that. In difference between the three trumpets we've already received against the land, sea, rivers, and fountains of water, the fourth trumpet is aimed against even the heavens. And the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So our daylight hours are going to be reduced. It's like living in Alaska the majority of the time. So things seem to defy what science knows about the laws of our universe. But again, the powers of heaven are going to be shaking this earth. Now look at the final verse, and we'll close with that. We've already had the seven seals, and we're already into four trumpets. But the word of God says in verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." This angel interrupted between the fourth and fifth trumpet, and he cried with a loud voice, "Woe unto anybody who is still left." How could the church be a part of that? How could the church be a part of that? The Lord never told the church to woe anything. He said, "Be of good cheer, comfort one another." There's not one iota of comfort in this thing I'm talking about. You get it? Hopefully you're getting it. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed. The blood you shed, oh God, that we put our faith in.